Welcome to Tip TV Finance, and I'm joined by Simon French, who is Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, Simon?
Morning, Zach. I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm very well. I've been made more intellectual by reading your article in the Evening Standard yesterday,
very
I believe.
Kind.
Lots of ground you covered there, and just a few words. But the best quote here, I think, is from your last paragraph, where you say, "However, at the heart of the problem facing UK business is that many feel that they are facing a lack of honesty from politicians."
That's something I think would chime with you, Zach.
That's a bombshell, isn't it?
Look, I think there's a particular acuteness to the lack of honesty in this campaign. You've had a Conservative manifesto that hasn't even bothered providing any numbers, short of, I think, the joke is going around, they did provide page numbers, but that was about it.
Right.
And then in the Labour Party, manifesto, there was a series of fairly speculative, uncosted elements to it, which were raising the spectre of nationalisation, raising the spectre of abolishing tuition fees, all of which, you know, they're providing static analysis of what the economic costs may be, but think of the dynamic cost. Think of what message that sends around Britain as a place to do business. I think we have a really poor choice when we go to the polls in the UK tomorrow, and that's led out of their economic strategies.
But why should we worry about the cost when the government can borrow money at 1% for 10 years? I mean, that's the magic money tree, isn't it?
Well, so I also made the point that there is the borrowing of money depends on what you spend it on. There is good and bad public spending, and you can borrow, as you say, gilt yields, 10-year gilts are below 1%. If there are infrastructure projects that can be delivered on time, add to economic prosperity, they only need a positive net present value, which is not difficult to achieve when yields are as low as they are. If you can find those projects, then why not add to the government's balance sheet in terms of borrowing to fund those? I think what the problem facing a lot of the political parties right now is convincing the electorate that they can deliver those kind of infrastructure projects on time, on budget, and have economic prosperity off the back of them. Now, I would say that, you know, examples in recent times like Crossrail 1 and the Olympic Stadium, a series of good infrastructure projects that have been well delivered on time, on budget, do suggest that we can do it, but I think the electorate remain highly sceptical.
Right, I mean, you start off the article talking about how the Conservative Party should, in theory, be a friend of business. But what we've seen here, especially with this, during the election campaign, is this lunge to the centre by the Tory party. So basically, it's turned into Lib Dems, where you've got something that Vince Cable would be proud of. He was the anti-business secretary, and you've got lots of anti-business types initiatives here, especially with the energy caps and other things like that.
Well, I think you're right to cite the energy tax as quite symbolic of a current government economic policy that, at least at number 10, maybe not at number 11, but at number 10, is quite sceptical on the workings of the free market. And most people associate the Conservative Party with a free market doctrine, and that has been challenged quite symbolically by an energy cap, which, let's be honest, those same Tory politicians that are advocating it were dismissing it when Ed Miliband suggested it in 2013 as, I think, Wonger style economics. Well, they're the ones providing those slightly odd approach to managing an energy market. But overall, it's quite a stark choice, isn't it, tomorrow, between a promise of higher taxation and higher public spending under the Labour Party and lower taxation and lower public spending under the Tories. Whether you spend a few extra billion here or there is probably immaterial. It's kind of what country you want to live in that will dictate your economic choices tomorrow.
But this government could almost be a Labour government. It could almost be like a Blair-like government in terms of lots of the policies or the tone that it has. And obviously, then with Corbyn, you've got a very, very left-wing situation, which we've never really had so far since the Second World War. But, I mean, do you think that really Theresa May is going to get away with it, get away with this very light and centrist policy manifesto?
Well, on the basis that I think she will increase her majority. My base case is a 60-seat majority. You may think, and many of your viewers may think, that this is a Blair-like version of Tory manifesto, but she's at risk on the upside of delivering a Blair-type majority for the Tory party, which they haven't enjoyed since the days of Margaret Thatcher. So whatever you say about its doctrine, it seems to be going down quite well in the country. I'm mindful that there's been a slightly botched communications during the campaign, but overall the polling is showing a 7-8 percentage point lead on the poll of polls, which should translate to additional seats for the Conservatives. So, you know, it may not be traditional Tory policy, but it's popular, and that's probably more important to the Prime Minister right
now.
So,
from an economics perspective, which obviously is your day job, we're looking at modest growth, inflation under control, and let's say business as usual.
Well, so let's take the growth story first. The growth story has held up remarkably well since the Brexit referendum, and partly that is because the Bank of England and the Treasury have combined to be more stimulative on monetary and fiscal policy. We've had the big devaluation in sterling, which of course has made our export sector more competitive. You combine that, that's a bit of a sugar rush. The question mark is how sustainable that is over the next couple of years. There are signs of some softness in the housing market and in the retail space, but order books are as full as they've been since the early 1990s, so a bit of a mixed picture. Talk about inflation. I mean, there is a bit of inflation coming through from that sterling devaluation, a little bit from base effects from energy markets, but actually look around the world, not just in the UK. Where's the inflation? Despite very, very tight labour markets, there is very little sign of wage growth, there's very little sign of sustained cost inflation in through products, through services, and therefore, wow, there is no real pressure on central banks, and not least the Bank of England to raise rates right now. I think I've been on record for more than a year now saying that I don't think rates are going anywhere in the UK this decade, and I'm not shifting from that position.
Simon French, Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon, thank you very much for joining us. And if you could tell David Burke in the background to cheer up, that would be great.
Will do. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.